Today I have a question for you. Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like, what did you get yourself into? You didn't have the right experience or the right skill set? Well, I know I have, and you probably have too. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Okay, today we're going to continue with the series, The Manifestation of Your Life Mission. Rick is showing us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to do, we don't have to run away from it. We can actually run toward it. This is such a good message, and I hope you'll invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how we can live according to the purpose and plan that He has for us. And now here's Rick with part one of a message called What to Do When You Get a Second Chance.
God has a mission for every life. God doesn't create anything without a purpose. And just as every plant, every rock, every animal has a purpose, if you're breathing, God has a purpose for your life. It's called your life mission. You weren't put on this planet to live for yourself. No. You have a far bigger purpose in life than simply to make money, retire, and die. You weren't put on this planet to take up space, to breathe, to use resources, and die. God has a plan and a purpose. He has a life mission for your life. Now, in this series, we're using the life of a prophet in the Bible called Jonah. Small book, only four chapters. And actually, Jonah did the wrong thing. He ran from his life mission for much of his story. But he finally gets it right in the end. So we learn from both the right things he did, but we also learn from the wrong things that he did. Now, on the screen, as we looked at each chapter, and this is chapter 3 in this session, chapter 1, we looked at Jonah rebelling and running from God and his mission. If you missed that message, we talk about 10 truths you need to know about your life mission that we learn from the life of Jonah. And when you run from your life mission, it always causes problems, causes storms for other people. Then in Jonah chapter 2, we see Jonah repenting and returning to God and his mission. And that's where he prays. He's swallowed by this large fish that God had made, taken to the bottom of the ocean. And in the bottom of the ocean, he cries out to God. And we talked about what to do when life feels hopeless, when you've hit bottom. Now, we come to chapter 3. And in Jonah chapter 3, we see Jonah restarting and running with God on mission. And so now we're going to look at what happens when you get a second chance. Now, we ended the last chapter where this giant fish that God had custom made for Jonah spits him up back out on the ocean, on the beach. And Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 starts with one of the most important verses in the Bible. And it says this: Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Circle that, a second time. God is the God of second chances. God loves to give us second chances, third chances, fourth chances. He gives us many, many chances because of his grace and his mercy. Now, after Jonah's rebellion, if you've been with me the first 2 weeks on this message series, does Jonah deserve to get another chance? No way. If you were God, would you give Jonah another chance? Probably not. But God loves to give second chances. God delights in showing grace. God delights in showing mercy. In fact, I made a short list of people who God gave another chance. I could have spent this entire message just sharing with you the names of people in the Bible that God gave a second chance to. But let me just show you a representative short list of, you think, well, God would never give me a second chance. Well, let me show you what he did do. Jacob cheated on his brother, cheated his brother out of his family inheritance. God gave Jacob a second chance. Moses murdered a man. God gave Moses a second chance. Rahab was a prostitute. She gets a second chance and ends up being in the family tree of Jesus. God uses her. Samson wasted his talent and ended up in prison. God gave him a second chance. David committed adultery and had the husband of the woman he had an affair with murdered. God gives him a second chance. Peter denies Jesus Christ at his arrest, right before the crucifixion. He's been with Jesus 3.5 years when they say, "Don't you know this guy?" He goes, "I don't even know the guy." Totally denies Jesus. Cops out at the last second. And then Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a hated, dishonest businessman. Nobody liked Zacchaeus. And yet Jesus gave him a second chance. Now, God gives everybody chances over and over and over and over. And that's what I want us to look at, what to do when you get a second chance from God. You know, I want to start with a true confession. I hate golf, okay? I really don't like it at all. I don't like it for two reasons. One, it takes too long. I don't have time to go spend hours and hours on that. And second, and more important, is you can play it your entire life and never get any better at it. That is so frustrating that you play it and play it and play it and you still just don't get any better. But my brother loved golf, and when my brother was alive, I loved to play golf with my brother because it was so much fun. It gave me a chance to be with him. The one thing I do love about golf was a term that I learned in playing golf, and it's called a mulligan. Now, if you don't know what a mulligan is, a mulligan is when you get another shot because you've made a poor one. And so you get a do-over, and it's not counted on your scorecard. I love this idea. It's called a mulligan. We ought to live in the mulligans of God, the grace of God, when he gives us a chance to do over, to start over, to try again, to give it our best shot, and he just shows us mercy. He shows us grace. He is forgiving over and over and over and over and over. And you say, well, that's not fair. It's not counted in your scorecard. Of course it's not fair. It's called grace. It's called mercy. Now, the mulligan verse of the Bible is in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. And that verse says this: a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets what? Another chance. Circle that. He gets another chance. He gets a mulligan. This is amazing grace of God, that anybody who refuses to admit his mistakes, you're never going to be successful. But if you confess and forsake them, you get another chance. Another mulligan verse in the Bible is the next verse on your outline, Lamentations chapter 3. And in chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 of Lamentations, it says this: the unfailing love of the Lord never ends. In other words, God's never going to stop loving you. You can't make God stop loving you, because his love is based on who he is, not what you do. The unfailing love of the Lord never ends. It is his mercy that has kept us from complete destruction. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for his mercy. His faithfulness is great, and his mercies begin afresh. Read it with me. Every new day. His mercies are new every new day. Now, I want you to write this down. Every new day is another chance from God. You need to start looking at your life as every new day is another chance from God. God is giving you a second chance, a 100th chance, a 1 millionth chance. Every new day, he's giving you another opportunity. So then the big question is, if every day of my life is really another chance, it's fresh start. His mercies are new every morning. He's not going to run out of mercy. Then what should I do when God gives me another chance? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Because in chapter 3 of Jonah, Jonah does 5 things. When Jonah finally gets another chance, he gets a mulligan. He does 5 things. These are the 5 things you need to do when God gives you a second chance, which is every new morning of your life. He gives you a second chance. He gives us 5 specific things to do. All right, so let's get right into it. Number 1, When God gives me another chance, the first thing I need to do is this: live with profound gratitude. I need to live with profound gratitude. I need to wake up every day saying, thank you, God. Thank you that my heart is still beating. There's blood still pulsing through my veins. I'm breathing. I can see. I can hear. I can eat. I'm alive. Thank you, God. You have given me another chance. You've given me another opportunity. You've given me another moment of mercy and grace. Your mercy is new every morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You live with a profound sense, not of duty, but of gratitude, of gratefulness, of thanksgiving. I'll never forget, probably 40 years ago, I said something to a guy. I said, how you doing? And usually what people respond to that, I don't even remember because it's meaningless. So I'm doing fine or whatever. But I asked this guy, and I've never forgot it in about 40 years. I said, how you doing? He said, better than I deserve to be doing. And I thought, wow, couldn't we all say that one? Better than I deserve to be doing, because it's all grace. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be here. Neither would you. It's all the grace of God. It's all a gift of God. Everything I have is a gift from God. You say, well, I worked for it. Where'd you get the ability to work? Where'd you get your mind? Where'd you get your body? Where'd you get your freedom? Where'd you get your brain? Everything you have is a gift from God. And it's all because of his grace. I didn't work for it. I didn't earn it. It's because I'm doing better than I deserve to be doing. So the first thing you want to do, when you get a second chance, and you know, you've gone through the bankruptcy, or you've gone through the divorce, or you've gone through the cancer, or you've gone through the scandal, or you've gone through the mess, or you've gone through the depression, or you've gone through 100,000 different problems, you got another chance. God gave you another chance. What do? The first thing you do is you start living with a profound sense of gratitude to God for his goodness, for his grace. And you demonstrate how you are thankful to God for giving you another chance. Now, Jonah does this. In fact, he did it even before he gets out of the belly of that great fish. While he's in the deep, deep part of the ocean, we looked at this in our last session in Jonah chapter 2, 9 and 10, the last verses we looked at in our last session. Jonah told God, he's still in the middle of the problem, I will sing my thanksgiving to you, and I will sacrifice to you, and I'll do what I've promised you to do. Why? Because salvation comes from you, Lord. Then God ordered the fish to spit up Jonah onto the beach, and it did. Now, in that verse, again, we covered this before, but I want to reinforce it. Three ways you express deep gratitude to God. Write these down. Three ways. Number one, I sing my thanks to God. That's the first thing Jonah says, because I'm going to sing my thanksgiving to you. Singing is a spiritual act of being grateful to God. You don't have to be on key. You don't have to have the right note. You just make a joyful noise. Psalm 92 verses 1 and 2 says, it's good to say thank you to the Lord. It's good to say thank you to the Lord and to sing praises to him. Every morning, tell him, thank you for your kindness. So every morning you get up and you start singing, the hills are alive. No. You just say, thank you, God. Thank you. Really cool day. Glad to be alive. My pulse is still going. Thank you. I'm profoundly grateful for another chance, another opportunity, another day. I sing my thanks to God. Number two, I give my offering in thanks to God. I realize that everything I have comes from God, and I give part of it back to him as a symbol of gratitude, going, I realize it all comes from you. You don't really own anything. It wasn't yours before you were born. It's not gonna be yours after you die. You only get to use it. God owns everything in the world. He loans it to you for about an 80-year period. What you think you own is really on loan. You're just a steward. You're a manager. You don't really own anything. Because you didn't own it before you were born, you're not gonna own it after you die, you're not taking it to heaven. So it's all God's, but he loans it to you, and the Bible says that we give part of it back to him, it's called tithing, as a result to say, God, I just recognize it all comes from you. I wouldn't have any of this if it weren't for you. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 50, verse 23, God says, the people who honor me are those who bring me an offering. Why? To show thanks. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. God owns it all. So what does he want? He just wants your thanks. He just wants your gratitude. He wants to demonstrate. A gift is a demonstration of gratitude. It says, the people who honor me are those who bring me an offering to show thanks, and I save those who obey me. So I sing my thanks to God, and I give my offering in thanks to God. And the third thing I do is I commit my life to God's mission for me. I commit my life to God's mission for me. When God gives you another chance, he doesn't want you to just go out and keep using it to live for yourself. He wants you to use it for his purpose. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says this. Give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, for you are back from death, and you want to be tools in the hands of God to be used for his good purposes. So I sing thanks to God, I give an offering in thanks to God, I commit myself and say, God, I want my life to honor you, I want to fulfill what you put me on earth to do. Now, these three things that Jonah did, we do them every week at Saddleback Church. Every single weekend, we sing thanks to God, we give offerings back to God as a saying of thanks, God, and we commit ourselves. We recommit ourselves every week saying, God, really, I belong to you. And so whatever you want to do with my life, that's cool. Whatever you want, that's how I say thanks to God. So that's the first thing you want to do when you've been given a second chance from God. You tell God how grateful you are. God, I'm alive. I made it through that crisis, that scandal, that problem, that sin, that relational hell, and I'm still here. And you've given me another chance. And I am so grateful, God, for your goodness. That's the first thing Jonah does. Now, here's the second thing Jonah does. And here's what you need to do when you're given a second chance, which is literally every day of your life. Number two, make my mission my top priority. Make my mission my top priority. When God gives me another chance, maybe I really messed it up. I really just blown it. But whatever God wants me to do with the rest of my life, that's what I'm going to focus on now. After I've been given a second chance, it's not the time to keep on doing the wrong stuff. It's not the time to keep on doing what I've been doing, being selfish, thinking about me, thinking about what I want, what I need, and not even thinking about God in my life. No, this is not the time to keep living the way I want. Now I make the focus. If God's given me a second chance, if I'm still alive, he didn't put me here to continue living selfishly. He's given me another chance to live for him. He's given me another chance to make my life mission, the mission he has for my life, my top priority. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says this. Do not let the grace that you received from God be for nothing. God has shown you mercy. God has shown you grace. God has let you off the hook so many times. He's forgotten sins. He's forgiven sins. God has let you off the hook so many times. Do not let the grace of God be for nothing. Like I'm just going to abuse it. I'm going to take it for granted. I'm going to continue living to be a selfish clod. No. Now I focus my mission. I focus on my life mission as my top priority. You know, the harder you've fallen, the more you've fallen, the more you understand gratefulness, and actually the more you are committed to your mission. You know who Paul the apostle is in the Bible, but he wasn't always some great Christian saint. You know what Paul was before God got a hold of him? He was a religious terrorist. He went around killing Christians. That was his job. He traveled around the Middle East, literally murdering, killing Christians. And he thought that was his duty, that he was such a zealot that Christians should be all wiped out. And he was a religious terrorist. And one day, while he's going to the city of Damascus to kill a bunch of Christians there in Syria, he has an encounter with Jesus Christ, the risen Christ. And Jesus shows up on the road to Damascus, says, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he goes, "Who are you, Lord?" He goes, "I'm Jesus." And he falls to his knees and he says, "My Lord and my God," and he makes a 180 degree turn, and now he becomes the apostle of love. And he's given a second chance after murdering a lot of people. And here's what he says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Paul says, "I don't care about my own life, not anymore. The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me." And what was that work? To tell people the good news about God's grace, about God's mercy, about his willingness to give us another chance. Now, this is the second thing that happens to Jonah. First, Jonah says, "I'm going to live in a sense of profound gratitude, and I'm going to be grateful to God every day of my life for another chance." But in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says this: "Then the Lord spoke to Jonah again." Okay, here he's getting a second chance. And he says, "Go to that great city, Nineveh, and warn them of their doom as I told you." Now, circle the word warn. We're going to come back to that in a minute. It says, "I want you to go to the great city of Nineveh and warn them of their doom as I told you before." Now, this is the exact same wording as in chapter 1. His mission has not changed. Jonah has gone through an awful lot of problems since chapter 1. He's been running from God. He's been through all kinds of problems. He's been in a shipwreck, a storm. He's been thrown overboard. He's been swallowed by a great fish. He's had all kinds of bad stuff happen in his life. But when he's given a second chance, God says, "By the way, the mission hasn't changed. It's the exact same thing I told you to do. It's what I made you to do. It's what I created you to do. It's what I decided you would do with your life before you were born. Your mission has not changed. No matter what you've been through, no matter how many problems you've had, how much stress you've gone through, how many losses you've had, how many sins you've committed, hadn't done one thing to change your life mission. What God created you for, what he designed you for, is still in full force." I want you to write this down on your outline. Circumstances may change me, but they never change my mission.
What a fantastic message from Pastor Rick. And now this really is one of my favorite parts of the broadcast, letters from our listeners. Here's Rick.
Did you know that you can listen to Daily Hope every day through our podcast? Many of our listeners say they make this part of their quiet time each day. You can actually download the podcast at PastorRick.com. And then you could listen on the go whenever it's convenient for you. For instance, Debbie, one of our listeners, says that she listens on her lunch break. Here's what she wrote. "Hey, Pastor Rick, your podcast is the perfect way to just relax from a busy job, and it refreshes, it fills my heart with hope and energy. Helps me be a light for Jesus in what is sometimes a stressful and tiring day." And Debbie continues in the note she wrote, "I recently came out of a 2-year period of depression and chronic stress brought on by my mother's passing." I'm sorry, Debbie. And she said, "It took a long time to rebuild my confidence and hope and to restore my daily connection with God. But the format of the Daily Hope podcast is just perfect in that it's 25 minutes of godly, practical, biblical teaching that I can absorb. Now, having it available online for free," she says, "has been such a blessing. It's made such a significant impact on my personal healing. And so I'm happily sending money to support this podcast because I know it's a good soul and spirit food for anybody who listens to it. Bless you, and thank you for teaching me how God works through the pain that life sometimes brings. You remain a spiritual lighthouse to me." Well, Debbie, I know that God's going to continue to help you grow, help you learn, and I'm blessed that he's using Daily Hope Podcast to do that in your life. Thank you. Thank you, Debbie. And thanks to all of you for supporting Daily Hope. Your financial gifts make it possible for us to tell people around the world that there's hope in Jesus. Thanks, everybody, for listening today. And I pray that you'll receive God's blessings, because I know that even when you can't see them, God is pouring his blessings into your life.
Would you like to help support Pastor Rick in this ministry financially? Well, go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. Once again, PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.